Chapter 38. 2 days without sunlight had rearranged Michael Tollins' biological clock. Although his watch said it was late afternoon, Tollins' body insisted it was the middle of the night. Now, having put the finishing touches on his documentary, Michael Tollins had downloaded the entire video file onto a digital video disc and was making his way across the darkened dome. Arriving at the illuminated press area, he delivered the disc to the NASA media technician in charge of overseeing the presentation. "Thanks, Mike," the technician said, winking as he held up the video disc. "Kind of redefines must-see TV, huh?" Tollin gave a tired chuckle. "I hope the president likes it." "No doubt. Anyhow, your work is done. Sit back and enjoy the show." "Thanks." Tollin stood on the brightly lit press area and surveyed the convivial NASA personnel toasting the meteorite with cans of Canadian beer. Even though Tollin wanted to celebrate, he felt exhausted, emotionally drained. He glanced around for Rachel Sexton, but apparently she was still talking to the president. "He wants to put her on air," Tollin thought. Not that he blamed him. Rachel would be a perfect addition to the cast of meteorite spokespeople. In addition to her good looks, Rachel exuded an accessible poise and self-confidence that Tollin seldom saw in the women he met. Then again, most of the women Tollin met were in television, either ruthless power women or gorgeous on-air personalities who lacked exactly that. Now, slipping quietly away from the crowd of bustling NASA employees, Tollin navigated the web of pathways across the dome, wondering where the other civilian scientists had disappeared to. If they felt half as drained as he did, they should be in the bunking area grabbing a catnap before the big moment. Ahead of him in the distance, Tollin could see the circle of Shaba pylons around the deserted extraction pit. The empty dome overhead seemed to echo with the hollow voices of distant memories. Tollin tried to block them out. "Forget the ghosts," he willed himself. They often haunted him at times like these, when he was tired or alone. Times of personal triumph or celebration. "She should be with you right now," the voice whispered. Alone in the darkness, he felt himself reeling backward into oblivion. Celia Birch had been his sweetheart in graduate school. One Valentine's Day, Tollin took her to her favorite restaurant. When the waiter brought Celia's dessert, it was a single rose and a diamond ring. Celia understood immediately. With tears in her eyes, she spoke a single word that made Michael Tollin as happy as he'd ever been. "Yes." Filled with anticipation, they bought a small house near Pasadena, where Celia got a job as a science teacher. Although the pay was modest, it was a start, and it was also close to Scripps Institute of Oceanography in San Diego, where Tollin had landed his dream job aboard a geologic research ship. Tollin's work meant he was away for 3 or 4 days at a time, but his reunions with Celia were always passionate and exciting. While at sea, Tollin began videotaping some of his adventures for Celia, making mini-documentaries of his work on board the ship. After one trip, he returned with a grainy home video that he'd shot out of the window of a deep-water submersible, the first footage ever shot of a bizarre chemotropic cuttlefish that nobody even knew existed. On camera, as he narrated the video, Tollin was practically bursting out of the submarine with enthusiasm. "Literally thousands of undiscovered species," he gushed, "live in these depths. We've barely scratched the surface. There are mysteries down here that none of us can imagine." Celia was enthralled with her husband's ebullience and concise scientific explanation. On a whim, she showed the tape to her science class, and it became an instant hit. Other teachers wanted to borrow it. Parents wanted to make copies. It seemed everyone was eagerly awaiting Michael's next installment. Celia suddenly had an idea. She called a college friend of hers who worked for NBC and sent her a videotape. 2 months later, Michael Tollin came to Celia and asked her to take a walk with him on Kingman Beach. It was their special place where they always went to share their hopes and dreams. "I have something I want to tell you," Tollin said. Celia stopped, taking her husband's hands as the water lapped around their feet. "What is it?" Tollin was bursting. "Last week, I got a call from NBC Television." They think I should host an oceanic documentary series. It's perfect. They want to make a pilot next year. Can you believe it? Celia kissed him, beaming. I believe it. You'll be great. 6 months later, Celia and Tallon were sailing near Catalina when Celia began complaining of pain in her side. They ignored it for a few weeks, but finally it got too much. Celia went in to have it checked out. In an instant, Tallon's dream life shattered into a hellish nightmare. Celia was ill, very ill. Advanced stages of lymphoma, the doctors explained. Rare in people her age, but certainly not unheard of.